Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for making it to the show. This is Thomas Tadlock of VeganBodyRevolution.com, and welcome to the Vegan Body Revolution Show, where you're going to learn how to save the planet, save our oceans, and clean up this planet, all while getting the body of your dreams. Today's show is going to be especially important for those of you who eat meat or other animal products like dairy or eggs. You want to listen to this show because I'm going to talk to you about my story and about what was it that helped me transition all the way over to vegan and why I choose to continue to stay vegan even to this day. I'm going to share with you the benefits, not just only from your health, but also for the planet and the environment. And then also, I'll go into the ethical reasons as well. Vegetarians, I'm talking to you vegetarians who are still possibly eating eggs or some dairy. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about why I think you should go 100% vegan. And I'll tell you what my reasons are in just a moment. And vegans, I'm talking to you too. If you're already 100% vegan, I'm going to share with you some ways to introduce the idea of moving towards a more plant-based diet, veganism, that is, for people who are avid meat eaters. I'm sure there are people in your life, they're just like, they just don't want to hear it. They don't want to know about it. And there's other people in your life who are meat eaters, but they keep bringing up the topic, so that means that they must be curious. I'm going to give you some tactics that I've used to be able to share the information in a way that doesn't make you come off like you're preaching, like you're trying to just shove your religion onto somebody and force them into a lifestyle that they're not ready for. I'm going to share with you how I do it that's been very successful for me and my wife. We get people to convert over to being vegan happily by the tens every week. And we want to help you do the same thing so that we can grow this movement, better this planet, and help everybody achieve greater levels of health and a physique that they've never had before. And then let's talk about raw vegans. I'm going to talk to you about raw vegans for a second. I love you guys because, man, you guys live on a whole nother level. I'm going to share with you a little bit about my take on raw veganism. So let's start with the meat eaters and the vegetarians who either consume dairy, eggs, or fish. You know, in my definition, I still consider you guys meat eaters. Now, you're not eating the meat of an animal, not the muscle, but it's still in the same general category. You guys are still eating animal products, which means that at the end of the day, there's still an animal whose freedom has been taken away and is producing a product of theirs that's rightfully theirs, but they're giving it to you. Well, they're not giving it away. It's being taken away, and you're hiring somebody basically to have it taken away from them. That's really what's happening. And I am by no means trying to start a fight here, but really, if you just see it for really what it is, you are paying money to maybe a grocery store who pays a farmer or a factory farm to literally rob the egg or the milk from an animal that same company has stuck in a pen never to ever have any rights or freedom for as long as it lives. That's what you're actually paying into. You see that? That's the system and that's how it works. So that's the first thing I want you to think about. Just consider the idea that that's actually what's going on, despite your greatest intentions. Now, I know many of you listening who are non-vegans. I know that sounds harsh, but can we agree that that's the reality? That's really actually what it is for the most part? Because that's what I see every single time I think about eating dairy or eating meat or eating eggs. Now, let's talk about the effect that meat has on the environment. I just shared this briefly with somebody. Now, in a previous radio show, I went over in more detail what the cost is, but let me just go over some of the basic ones. So for every pound of meat that's produced, you got to understand this, every pound of meat, 1,000 gallons of clean water is used up. It's wasted. Now, if you haven't noticed, we're in the middle of a water shortage. I mean, we're about to have a clean water shortage. That's why you see nations all over the world stocking up on clean water, because there's not going to be a lot of it left. And we're moving in a downward direction for clean water. And we know we need to conserve water, as much clean water as we possibly can. And just think, for every pound of meat that one might eat, that's 1,000 gallons of water they could be saving. I go back and I think about just over a year and a half ago when I was not vegan. Man, I was eating meat like crazy. For me, a regular day was 2 pounds of steak. Oh, I love steak. I had no idea I was wasting over 2,000 gallons of water every single day. That's water I could have been saving every single day just because I didn't know any better. I mean, that was it. My preference was steak. I loved the taste of it. I loved the protein that I got for it. I loved what it was doing to the muscles in my body. But once I learned what I was doing in terms of wasting water, oh, that just hurt my heart. It hurt my heart. Now, for me, I love this planet. I do. Everything in my life I have because of this planet. I just feel so connected to it. I feel like I owe so much to it that I can't participate in things that just make it worse. Now, do I drive a car? Absolutely, I drive a car. I feel horrible about it. That's why for what I do, I go speak to thousands of people all over the United States. I get around in the most economical means I possibly can. That means I invested in a hybrid car before, and then now I wanted to take it on the road and take my family along with me. I figure, how do you do that? I invested in a diesel truck, that one of the most low emissions and most fuel efficient diesel trucks that could pull an RV with me everywhere I go. But God, every time I drive that thing, I know I'm polluting the environment. Every time I go to the pump, I know that I'm adding to the problem because I'm buying gasoline, and it kills me. And don't you think for a second that I'm not contriving ways to figure out how I can totally eliminate my dependence on this oil. And right now, I've got a dependence on oil. So am I a hypocrite? Well, I might be. I mean, you could totally see me as a hypocrite because I'm buying gasoline and I'm driving cars, and that's not doing good for the environment. That is absolutely true, and I don't deny that for one second. But man, I'm doing everything that I know how so far to try to minimize that and eventually get off of it completely. So what I'm asking from meat eaters, vegetarians, who I'm encouraging to move over to the vegan side is I'm not expecting it all at once. I see you guys as who I used to be when I was eating meat. I also see you guys as me, the conscious gas user, the conscious driver of a gas vehicle who's doing everything humanly possible to try to move over to a side where I don't have to contribute to polluting the environment and making this planet any worse off than it is. The thing I'm focused about, though, is veganism because of the impact that it has. I mean, what you can do, if you can just change your preference of taste, which is the most basic, nearly useless sense that we still have today. I mean, you think about it, out of all the senses that we have, it is the least productive, it is the least useful out of them all. You know, before taste was something that helped us recognize foods that are edible, well, we don't need that anymore. We're smart enough. You can now just use your eyes and read a box or look at a piece of protein. You know if it's edible or not. We don't need to do that because that's such a primitive sense. We don't need it anymore. So why do we have to keep serving it? Why? That's what I'm going to ask you. I mean, I had to ask myself that same question. And for me, it made a whole lot of sense. I'm like, wow, I just got to stop serving that taste. Let me just switch my preference over to something else that causes less damage to the planet. So 1,000 gallons of water every single day. Now, that's for every pound of meat that's consumed. Now, on top of that, think about it. The pollution, you know, this world's got a lot of pollution. Some of the big factory farms produces, and this is by no exaggeration, you can look this up, produces more pollution than the entire city of Los Angeles. One big factory farm can produce more pollution than the city of Los Angeles. And you know Los Angeles is not contributing to the betterment of this planet's environment. You know that. And I just don't want to participate anymore. And I hope you don't want to either. You know, some of us live in LA, and I know that you're in the same boat as I am when it comes to gas. You live in LA because right now you don't know how to not live in LA in order to make a living, just survive or to sustain a family. I get it. I totally get it. But the good news is that the damage that you're creating by being part of that city is far less than the impact you can have by making a few different food choices, saving water, saving pollution big time. Now, let's talk about some of the basic health reasons. Here, the big one is this. When healthy vegans, when I say healthy, I mean the vegans that aren't abusing high glycemic carbohydrates, that aren't going vegan, eating only like rice and sugar and processed carbohydrates. I'm talking about the healthy vegans, and we'll get into raw vegans in a second. But the vegans that really understand the value and of quality food, high quality food, lots of greens, lots of antioxidants and minerals, fresh foods. Those folks just don't get cancer. They're nearly completely devoid of it. Healthy meat eaters, on the other hand, and healthy dairy drinkers, they get cancer all day long. And they also develop a host of other different different inflammatory related diseases. But cancer, let's just look at that for a second. Now, for those of you who really want to look this stuff up, let me just, I'm not going to quote any studies or research right now. You can do that on your own. I mean, I have a master's degree from exercise science and health promotion. I have read paper after paper after paper after paper. So if I can recommend a very easy way to find and validate the information I'm talking about, is check out T. Colin Campbell's book, Forks Over Knives. Forks Over Knives. He also co-authored a book that's a national bestseller called The China Study. Now, just so you know who he is and where his information comes from, because the majority of this information comes from him that I'm about to describe, and I am going to be talking about cancer and dairy. T. Colin Campbell, he's a professor of nutritional biochemistry at Cornell University. He's authored over 300 research papers, as well as co-authoring the China Study, and also starred in the American documentary Forks Over Knives. So check that out. You'll be able to find everything that you need in the bibliography of both of those pieces, and find out where all of his research comes from and the actual research that he did, so on and so forth. But basically, in a nutshell, what Colin Campbell discovered was that casein is not the only animal-based protein out there that creates this, but casein is literally like a switch to turn cancer on and off. That means when you put casein into the bodies of rats and you feed them this casein, what happens is the rats start developing tumors and cancer very, very quickly. Very similar thing happens to humans. Now, some of us have different genetic predispositions so that some of us can just drink dairy all day long and they'll be able to die without ever having any issues with cancer. Okay, I'll give you that. That's okay. But what is undeniable is that the moment you eat dairy, you start increasing your risk of cancer right away. And as soon as many people take dairy out of their diet, which is recommended, and you switch to a very aggressive plant-based approach, like if you want to check out Dr. Gerson, G-E-R-S-O-N, I hope that's right, you can check out on Netflix, The Gerson Miracle, a highly aggressive approach to using plant-based foods to reverse it. So take all the meat and dairy out of the diet and put in huge amounts of plant-based nutrients, raw nutrients from plants, and boom, you can completely reverse cancer, reverse tumors, and take people from the brink of death to the road to recovery, to having vibrant, amazing health, better than they ever had in their lives. That's how powerful this is. So if you're not doing it for ethical reasons, for the suffering of the animal, that's okay. That's okay. If you're not doing it for saving the planet and helping clean it up even more by abstaining from meat and dairy, the things that have the greatest impacts on pollution in the environment, that's okay too. Just so you know too, if you're a pescatarian, that means you eat fish, there's no way around this. There are only 10% of the species in the oceans left now. We've wiped out 90% of the freaking fish in the oceans, and we're killing the coral reefs because of commercial fishing. I can't contribute to that anymore, and I hope you feel the same way. But if that's still not a good enough reason for you to abstain from eating fish or other meats or dairy or eggs, okay, cool. Well, why not do it at least for your health? At least so that you can reduce your chances of getting cancer. If you ever had someone who died from cancer, for me, I lost my aunt. I lost my uncle, my father's brother, not too long ago. And I lost my best friend. And today is October 8th. And I dedicate this show to him because I've never... I've never just had someone in my life that, until I met my wife. But before I met my wife, I just never had anybody in my life that I just would look at, and his very thought and image would just light me up and create so much happiness and fill my heart with so much joy. And I lost him to testicular cancer at only 24 years old. Both of us were 24 years old, and I lost him because of cancer. And he ate meat, he ate fish, he drank dairy, I'm not going to go out there on the limb and say that that those are the things that causes cancer, but I am going to say that they certainly contributed to his cancer, and we know that now. It's indisputable. The research is right there. So I know that maybe if he had this information, because he was also a very compassionate person, one of the most compassionate people that I know, and it was no surprise that over 100 people from around the world came to his funeral to pay their respects, because he had that kind of an influence on everybody who he touched. He was just such a special person. And I know that if he had this information back then, he probably would have made changes in his life that could have possibly changed the course of his life and possibly even avoid cancer. I think about that every single day. So I don't want anybody to have to suffer the pain of losing a loved one, especially if there is a way that it might have been avoided. I don't ever want anybody to experience that, because it's just awful. It is awful. And you never get over it. I still don't get over it. And every year I think about this day, and you know, I tear up for many different reasons. It's also the anniversary of my wife and my wedding. The greatest single event that ever happened to me in my entire life was marrying this woman. And for so many reasons, I am just so grateful for today. And what I'm going to choose to do today is try to help enhance the lives of you listening, and possibly save the lives of other creatures who are suffering as a result of so many of our eating decisions, and bless the planet at the same time. Hopefully we can all do this together, and I believe that we can. If the cancer is not enough, if avoiding cancer is not enough for you to change your decision, how about heart disease? Did you know that you can drastically reduce your chances of ever getting heart disease by more than half just by switching to a plant-based, 100% plant-based diet? Isn't that amazing? Now, you know what's also, if those things are not enough to convince you at all, then would it at least be worth it to you to move in that direction? Because I can help you get an amazing body that way. Maybe you eat meat, or you're a vegetarian that eats either fish or eggs or dairy, that maybe you want to enhance the way your body looks. You want to lose some weight. You want to trim the waist up. Or maybe you want to build muscle too. All of that can be done. It can be done very quickly. I've shown that. I've shown you with my own body. I can show you how quickly that it takes to build muscle. Just listen to the previous shows and the shows following this, and you'll find. Or go to veganbodyrevolution.com, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about there. I've got articles up there and some posts that show you exactly what can be done on a vegan diet. And this is without steroids or drugs or anything like that. I've never done steroids before, so you can trust me on this, that it works, and it works just by the virtue of using the right plants in the right amounts and combining that with the right type of exercise. That's all it is. Raw vegans. Let me talk about you guys for a second. You guys have so much to contribute to this, because you see, I was in Palm Springs the other day, and my wife and I just walked into this store that had a lot of really cool kind of out there crystals and fortune telling things and these pranic healers and things like that. And I looked around, I saw all these talented people. They're doing all this like distance healing and energy healing and things like that. And we got into a discussion about what we ate and how they agreed that what you put in your body is the number one contributor to how spiritual and awakened you become. Well, you know, if you're listening to this and you're not a very spiritual person, don't worry about it. I'm not going to get on this topic for very long, but I just want to point out out a few things. That even at the most spiritual level, if you believe in karma, you have to believe that karma is attached to the things that you contribute in. That karma is attached to the meat that you might be eating. You realize that if you eat meat from an animal that suffers pain, well, hopefully you agree that that pain has somehow left its mark in its tissues, right? And we're finding that in science too. That if you really want to achieve the highest spiritual level, the greatest teachers on the planet, the absolute greatest spiritual teachers on the planet, all say you must not hurt animals to achieve that. Raw vegans, I love you guys. I absolutely love you guys because really the quality, when you talk about quality food, it doesn't get better than the raw form of a food. You're talking about a plant, you're talking about a vegetable, a seed. Raw is the best because you realize the moment you apply heat to something, you start denaturing it, you start destroying certain things, you start changing the structure of it. Your body doesn't know what to do with it anymore. I mean, in fact, you can make your body flip out, literally, by how it releases certain hormones like insulin and uric acid and things like that the moment you heat it up. Now, I don't want to get too off topic, but the idea is this. The best nutrients, the most nutrients, are found from foods that are virtually untouched. Hopefully you agree with that. So, what we're going to talk about here is vegans, raw vegans. Raw vegans, you guys epitomize the ability to achieve vibrant, amazing health. If we take a little bit of combinations of what we do for vegans and what we do for raw vegans, then you've got a combination that can change your body in a way that you've never seen possible. What I mean by that is you want to build muscle, you know you got to have a whole lot of protein, you got to have a whole lot of really good quality carbohydrates and some fatty acids. So in that case, you're going to have to eat some things that may not be raw just to be able to get the quantities that you need. Otherwise, you'll be chewing and eating forever, and your stomach probably won't be able to handle the sheer volumes of food that you need to make muscles grow and grow quickly. That's okay. But for maintaining, my goodness, maintaining raw vegans, you guys are just, I love it. I mean, if anybody, I challenge you to go on a raw vegan diet and just see how your body responds to that. For those of you who are trying to lose weight, man, the easiest way to lose weight fast, just freaking go raw vegan. Because here's why. You can't screw it up. You eat raw plants and vegetables and nuts and seeds. You can't screw it up because everything that you eat is just so good for you. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients that increase your metabolism. The foods, because they're in whole forms, when you eat them, it's so hard to overeat because it's the volume, the amount of fiber and nutrients that you're getting is so high. It is so hard to overeat. I remember the first time I ate my first raw vegan dish, there was this one. I'm used to eating like literally a plate and a half of food at any restaurant. I go to a raw vegan restaurant, I order the biggest sampler platter that they have, and they bring it out, and it's just this plate, and it looks like the portions that you would find at a really, really high-class fine dining restaurant. You know how they make you pay $50 for a plate, and then you look at it, and there's barely anything on it. Well, that's what this plate looked like in this raw vegan restaurant. Well, I got to tell you, I was sad. I was embarrassed to say that I couldn't even finish my meal, and I felt that I was eating just nothing. I thought there was so little. It just felt like there was just a few bites of food, like a little set of hors d'oeuvres, and that was it. Well, as I was eating, I'm like 3/5 of the way through with my meal, and I had to stop. My stomach is so full, and I felt so energized by the time I left. Oh, my goodness. You eat like that, you lower your blood sugar dramatically. You lower your insulin levels, you lower your inflammation, and fat loss just starts to come. I mean, you start losing fat like crazy the moment you apply that and combine that with any form of exercise. My father, I helped him lose 37 pounds over the course of just a few short months just by having him go basically raw vegan for the most part. He ate maybe one non-raw meal a day, but the rest of it was raw vegan. He lost 37 pounds and he's still losing weight. He's losing inches, he's losing weight. It's amazing. And he doesn't even exercise. How cool is that? And you can do the same thing too. Vegans and raw vegans. If you've ever felt compelled like me, I mean, I started a freaking radio show. How about that? Have you ever felt compelled like me to introduce the idea to meat eaters because you feel so strongly about either the animals, the planet, or maybe the health of your meat eating friends? Then let me share with you some of the things that have worked for me when introducing it. So number one, I very rarely ever bring up the fact veganism at all to a meat eater unless they ask for me first. But what I do is I ask certain questions that stimulate the conversation into that direction. So that way you position yourself. I'll give an example in a second. But basically, you position yourself in a way where they brought it up, not you. Get it? It's one thing if they bring it up, then they're inviting you to have a conversation about it. But it's a whole other thing if you bring it up and they never wanted to talk about it, then you just seem like one of those crazy type of evangelistic freaks that they're going to want to avoid every chance they can get. But, you're having a conversation, and I'll strategically just bring up the question about, hey, tell me about your diet. You work out at all? You do anything to stay healthy or keep in shape? And then they start saying, oh, yeah, I do this, a little paleo diet, whatever, And I say, oh, cool, meat. I'm like, oh man, well I love what I've been doing. It's just been great. I've switched over to a different type of eating program over the past year or so, and man, it's awesome. I feel great on it. I feel fantastic, and man, I've been able to reduce my chance of disease by a huge amount. And usually that's enough for the person to go, well, what kind of program are you on? What are you doing? And I just say, oh, dude, well, I was a massive meat eater about a year and a half ago, and then I switched to going vegan, and I didn't think you could build muscle on it, but I've put on 7.25 pounds of muscle in just 28 days on it, and I also watch my energy levels go through the roof. I get by on less sleep than I ever did before. I mean, it's amazing. I didn't think I could do that, and then on top of that, I found out that I'm reducing my risk of cancer and heart disease at the same time, and cancer runs my family, so man, that just feels great. And the other thing, too, is I used to eat 5 or 6 meals a day, which I sometimes do, and I had to worry about carrying my meat around everywhere I went and keeping it cool and then finding a microwave to heat it up. Well, with vegan food, I don't even have to do that. And then they look at me and they go, oh, wow. And usually they're stuck on that, wait, you build 7 pounds of muscle in 28 days on plants? Tell me more about that. And then that's what I tell them. I go right into that. And then, boom, the conversation starts. Or I was having dinner the other day with some friends up in Vegas. They're much older, and they're at the age, and they're entering 60 years old, where they have to worry about their health, and the chances of heart disease is getting up there, and cancer is getting up there, and one of our friends is already on cholesterol medications, and so again, I brought up the conversation. We're obviously eating at dinner, and they're not eating vegan, but we are. But again, we don't start talking about it. All I do is like, hey, so what do you do to keep in shape? And I let them just kind of tell me a little bit about what they do to keep in shape. And then if they don't mention diet, I say, oh, so do you do anything with like your nutrition to keep in diet? Are you keeping healthy? Are you eating healthy? I'll ask questions like that. And then they'll start elaborating on what they eat every single day. And then I'll just kind of keep asking questions until they ask me what I do. Or I'll find little places in the conversation. If they mention that they ate meat, I have one piece of fish, I'm trying to eat healthier and stuff like that. I'll use an opportunity like that to interject, oh yeah, omega-3s are like some of the best things you can get. I love them. I switched over from fish oil to flaxseed oil. It's just been wonderful. I haven't seen any change at all in the results. It costs me less money to do flaxseed oil. I can mix it into my smoothies, and it doesn't smell like crap. Like someone just poured fish oil all over your body. And I can pour it in my salads. It makes an awesome vinaigrette when you combine it with some balsamic vinegar. It's awesome. And then, boom, their curiosity switch goes up. And then I get to start talking more about promoting the benefits of veganism. And that's what I do. Now, I never, ever, ever, ever talk about the ethical reasons behind veganism with, animals and stuff like that. Because, well, if you eat meat or any animal products in the beginning part of this show, I wouldn't be surprised if I tugged on a few strings for you. Which, if you felt any pain or guilt, or if you're even pissed at me, I by no means was trying to do that at all. I was just sharing with you what was going through my head. All right, so I don't bring up the ethical part unless they ask me about it. Unless they ask me. So if they ask me why did I do it, I tell my story, and then I'll just talk about how things changed for me and the way I kind of saw my contribution to this planet and the effect of eating animals and animal products. It just changed. And I kind of leave it ambiguous like that. I don't go too much in detail because, again, the last thing I want is to connect feelings of guilt with this conversation. What I want to do, and this is what I recommend that you do, is when you're sharing this information, is connect feelings of empowerment and get people to just swim in the idea of having all these new benefits that they never had before. The reduced risk of cancer, the reduced risk of heart disease, higher energy, more vitality, anti-aging I haven't talked about yet, especially if for those raw vegans. Man, the anti-aging benefits of this is just through the roof. And that you can get by with less money, because meat is usually more expensive than plant-based foods. And think about, just talk about how healthy they're going to be and how great they're going to feel and how easy it is. And also the convenience aspect. You don't have to keep most vegetables. You don't have to keep it cool. You can have a day's worth of vegetables and plant-based foods without having to refrigerate it all the time. I love that aspect of it, especially if you're doing a body transformation program like one of my programs, and you got to carry your food around with you everywhere you go so you get enough nutrients in. Oh, man, it's so easy doing it vegan style. So I hope I've given you some tools to help promote the benefits of going vegan and also be able to share this with your fellow friends and family and people in your life that you care about. Meat eaters, vegetarians, pescatarians, ovo-lacto, dairy-eating vegetarians, I hope I've given you some other reasons that maybe some of you already know or maybe some of you don't know that might help you move and progress in the direction of going 100% vegan. Again, any move you make in that direction is going to have a significant impact. Meat eaters, even if you weren't to give up your meat, but let's say that you just gave up a pound of meat a month, you realize the beauty in what you just did. You've done a couple things. You've helped reduce the amount of water wasted by 1,000 gallons just because of your choice. You've also contributed to less pollution because you contributed, you made sure that your money was not spent, that money on that pound of meat that you abstained from was not spent on help creating another cow that went to another factory farm that created more pollution on this planet and in our cities. You've also increased your probability of living longer and reducing your risk of heart disease and cancer. That's amazing. And if you made a good vegan choice, that means a healthy one, like a raw vegan choice, then you've also increased the amount of energy you have, and you've also made a stride towards making your body and the cells of your body even younger. How cool is that? All because you abstained a little bit from meat. So we can make strides like that every single day. Dairy drinkers, man, you want to avoid diabetes? The number one food on the American Diabetic Association's hit list to avoid diabetes is dairy. If there's one thing you want to cut out and your concern is diabetes, insulin-related blood sugar, inflammatory disease, get that dairy out of your system. And you'll also get a high chance of getting cancer. You'll get that out of your system too. Okay? It's just win-win-win, baby. Anyway, I thank you so much for tuning into this show. This is Thomas Tadlock from veganbodyrevolution.com. Thank you for joining me today and being part of the revolution, the vegan body revolution, where we're going to help save this planet while getting you your ultimate dream body. Thank you so much, everybody. I will see you on the next podcast.